This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt and we are going to have a positive podcast, I believe, I think, I hope. Just a quick bit of housekeeping, just again, just thanks everyone for listening. Listens every week are going up and up, so whether you're sort of a new listener, you know, bit by time after time listener every now and again, whether you listen every week, whatever. Thank you. We appreciate it. And hopefully we can deliver you a bit more of a positive podcast today. Quickly, though, before we get into that, just on the pod today, we welcome back Harry Edwards, Ars Insight. Not been a while, mate.
Yeah, well, good. Thank you for having me back on. Excited to get back on.
It's been a while, mate. What have you been up to?
Not much. Watching all the games. Somehow... managed to watch all of them, even though it's been a little bit tough to watch at points. But yeah, uni, here, there and everywhere. But yeah, still following the Rs. Not doing nice, my mate, nice. Podcast anymore. So I've trudged back here and hoping you'll take me on for the odd cameo.
What happened to it, mate?
I don't know. It was all right, but I just... life got in the way. I was back to uni. I was just too busy.
You were going out all the time, basically.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Not easy doing a podcast on QPR, is it, mate? I did warn you.
No, it's tough. It's very tough.
Mate, trying to get the motivation to just say the same thing you said for the past 3 weeks is not easy, is it, lads?
Yeah, but we don't need to do that today.
No.
It's all positive.
All positive. So, yeah, Doug, Chris, as ever, you lads all right?
Yeah,
very well, mate.
Good, good. Hoping for a bit of positivity and a few smiles about. Good win on Saturday. Much needed. Do you know what? Before it, I didn't even care how it came. We could have been Burnley away where we, you know, it could have been Watford at home with Ainsworth. I didn't even care how we won as long as we got the 3 points. I think that was the most important thing. I didn't really care how it came. Having said that, although we didn't start great, I actually thought we were pretty solid. Millwall didn't offer a lot. You look at all the stats, they didn't do anything really. And as their manager said, they've been on a pretty decent run recently as well. And attacking-wise, they've scored a lot of goals. So it just shows how good we were on the day. I think that... like we've said, that defence, if we can keep that defence for the rest of the season, I think we'll go close to being all right. But it's just a big if, isn't it? With the injuries that they've got. I don't think Reggie Cannon's fully fit. But anyway, when I saw that team, I felt, all right, this could be it's now or never. And I thought we did well, good win. Does anyone want to kick us off? Harry, what was your view on the game, mate?
I enjoyed it. Like you, when I saw the team go out, I felt pretty confident, quietly confident, which is a slight blind optimism given the results. But when you can put that team out, then I don't know, it's competitive at least, at the very least. And like we were saying before the pod, keeping that 11 plus one or two subs, then we're all right. But it's just beyond that, just a little bit worrying. But in terms of the game, actually enjoyed it. Felt like it was a good game, quite an open game in the first half, but we were pretty much in control for the large part. And yeah, enjoyed the game. And Joel Linden, I don't know if you're going to get onto that, but I'd say that'd be the one point. Linden Dykes playing sort of in midfield seems to be a bit of a masterstroke, and it worked. It worked to perfection on Saturday.
If you'd have told me that 3 or 4 weeks ago that Linden Dykes would be playing number 10 and we're going to be calling him that, I think I would have just cancelled the podcast. No, I wouldn't, but it was... Yeah, I wouldn't have believed you, but actually, he really does suit in there, doesn't he, a little bit? Like, I don't think he's a long-term answer in there, I really don't. But he's certainly an option in there in certain games. And I think that he can, the type of player he's up against, it's different, isn't it? Like, you're coming up against these smaller CDMs, centre midfielders, that he can bully a little bit. And that's, you saw that a lot, they're two real small centre midfielders. And every time there was sort of a 50-50, he seemed to come out with the ball. And he won a lot in the air. And when he wins stuff in the air and he's in that number 10, the chance of someone picking up the second ball is much more, isn't it? Because it's getting knocked on to Sinclair or Chair or Willett falling in and around. I just think when he's up there on the top trying to win header, he'll win it, but it will just go, could go anywhere behind. And there's no one there, is there, really? But no, he did great for the first goal, didn't he? Chris, anything to add, mate?
I mean, before that first goal, honestly, 30 seconds before, me and my mate were talking. We were like, not quite sure Dykes knows where he's playing. Like, we're not finding him at all. He seemed a bit lost in there. Then we played a good ball at the back. Clark sort of finally found him. Great bit of skill. I think it was past either Honeyman or Mitchell. Then we broke and got a goal. So, like, it did, elements of it are definitely working. But honestly, like, yeah, he's been very well praised for that performance. But I felt first 25 minutes he was a bit lost, which is natural, right? If he hasn't played in that position a lot, it's going to take time to develop. And I think he needed either a decent few touches on the ball or just to feel a bit more confident in that position. But because before that, Honeyman and Mitchell seemed to be everywhere. Then after we got that goal, it seemed to feel, okay, actually, we got better control of that midfield with the three of them in there, because we had an overload. So that was definitely positive to see. Yeah, will it work every week? Who knows? But the combination, like we said on the last pod on Thursday, that combination of him in behind Armstrong is definitely a positive for us and the way we need to go.
I know the skill for the goal was nice, but I don't think that's why he's in there. And maybe before he wasn't impacting the game as much, but I think he's more in there just to make us more sturdy and more competitive in the midfield. Like, I think I don't know what the percentage of 50-50s he won were, but I felt like he was challenging for the ball so often and like putting a foot in constantly. And I think he's always pressed quite well, but it's quite hard to press a back sometimes three by yourself. You know how he'd be going. But when it's a bit tighter in there, there's a few where he's just come out of nowhere, slid in, won the ball, put us on the attack. And I think that he did quite well throughout the game. The goal, the involvement for the goal was unbelievable. And no one expects Dykes to sort of flick it over someone's head and then spread it out wide. But yeah, that was my take on it.
Best part of that, wasn't it? I mean, the flick was nice and stuff, but it was the pass. It was just literally perfect, straight in his run, so he could literally make a better. So he could it made Willock control it a bit easier, and I just thought that the actual pass was decent as much as the skill. But you're right, mate. Yeah, in that particular game, it might not always be like that, but he seemed, as the game got on, he just seemed to grow and grow, didn't he? A bit more confidence. And with him playing there, it means you can play Sinclair and it means you can play Willock and it means you can play you know, Smith or Chair or whoever else in there, doesn't it? It gives you that option. Because when you play him up top, I don't know, where did you play Sinclair? It doesn't really fit in, does he? Mm. And I just think, yeah, so that's a bit, I mean, Doug, Colback, good game. Best game
good
for the
game.
Club.
Like best game for us since he signed. Like, where's he been all season? This is the Jack Colback we were all expecting. Like, he's nice that he's turned up now in January. But he literally, like, didn't put a foot wrong, wasn't diving in for anything silly, wasn't trying to run around like a headless chicken. He just seemed to actually, it was almost like he was back to fully being match fit, and he knew he could boss that game, and he knew he could run that midfield. Like, it was in the first half where he did, like, the little, just got there before, was it Mitchell, when Mitchell got booked. It's just that, like, previously I would have been terrified he would be doing two-footed into that, and he'd be the one getting sent off or getting booked. But he just literally got his foot there first, got his body in the front of the ball, and it's the smart, mature player we've all been expecting. And it's like, if we can keep him performing at that level, and we can keep Cook in the in a centre back, then we've got those two will carry us, I reckon, and could be the difference that makes us stay in this division.
I think he was that important. Very reserved, weren't they? They weren't the usual charging around self like tackles. Do you know what I mean? And just doing silly little fouls here and there. They felt like you said about Colback, he just felt a bit more assured and a bit more relaxed. He weren't running around like a headless chicken. I'm not sure. It felt like it was something he was told. It might not have been. It might just be they're on sort of the yellows, aren't they, or close to it. I don't know. We really can't afford to lose a centre midfielder. I'm not sure. It's something Marty said. I don't know. But yeah, he was excellent, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was brilliant. It was, I don't know whether it's a factor of the two he was playing against in terms of he didn't feel the need to be taking on what he's done before, i.e. we weren't playing against the silkiest two in the middle. Although I did think in the first half, Mitchell picked up the ball a hell of a lot, and he was good in that second half, not as much. We grew into the game, and like, I think we said earlier, I just felt very comfortable in that game, actually. I think they offered next to nothing, which was not, I don't know whether it's that surprising. They're good at defending set pieces, and they score a lot of goals from set pieces. So apart from that, they're kind of trying to see what Fleming can do. If he's not on it, are they not that good a team?
He was awful, wasn't he? I thought he was one of the worst players on the pitch. They rejected 11 million for him in the summer.
Did they?
Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, they from Burnley. From Burnley. Before.
Yeah. They didn't have much up top either, did they? I don't know if they're missing strikers.
No.
Who was it playing up front for them?
They had,
Kevin Nisbet, the Scottish striker.
Oh, yeah.
And then they brought on Longman up front, didn't they? Yeah. I don't really know. It didn't really feel like they. That's what I mean. When we were 1-0, even if we didn't get that second goal, I was fairly confident the only way they were going to score was from a corner or a set piece.
We limited them to only having three corners, which I think is testament as well to how we've defended. Like, and also the fact that they had one shot on target and one shot off target. Like, that just shows you how like hard the defence worked, the midfield worked to limit chances that they could create. Like, obviously, we haven't mentioned about the fact the first 20 minutes were probably some of the worst football I've seen all season. The amount of misplaced passes, miscontrolled passes. It was like before the goal, it was like one of those games where you just thought this is going to be a long 90 minutes. It's going to end 0-0. But then we showed our bit of quality and then got the goal. Then I think after we got the goal, we completely dominated Millwall. I don't think they were up for it at all.
No, it didn't feel like it, did it? But yeah, that first 20 minutes, we felt nervous. Like every player on the pitch knew how big a game it was. And I can't remember the incident, but basically like we won the ball high up and we gave it away like instantly because someone tried to rush a pass and I think it went off for a goal kick and you're like, just needed a little bit of calm and we could have broken well because I think it's probably like either 3-on-4. It was a decent counter-attacking situation. But yeah, the goal, perfect time, settled us. And yeah, we could celebrate 3 points in And then the fact that Armstrong got the winner, sure, we'll come on to his overall performance, but great, great that it fell for him. Well, not that it fell for him, but that he was the one there in the right position reacting. Not quite sure how the keeper managed to save a shot and then it spilled into the middle of the goal to sort of set him up. But I think the amount of podcasts we've come on and said, we need a bit of luck or we don't get any luck, that one felt like kind of Lady Luck was shining on us that day.
I don't know if you've seen the replay, but he literally runs past like two or three players to get to that ball first, Armstrong,
yes,
to tap it in. It's like he's lightning, but also they were just on their heels. And finally, that little bit of luck, like you say, just fall into us, which felt like we haven't had. And there was a penalty incident, which I...
Oh, that was the penalty, I don't know.
I think if the guy was like a yard further away from Lyndon when he's crossed the ball in, then it's completely given. The only argument I can think of is like, was he too close? But even then, see them given.
But the thing is, if that was in the Premier League with VAR, it's given 10 times out of 10. But
yeah,
the state of the referees in the Championship and the linesmen, like for them not to see it, it's just kind of... That's when you think at 1-0, is that like the luck turning for us? Is that's going to be the one that comes back to bite us in the arse? Like, we should have had the penalty, we didn't. So it was nice that we still managed to hold on and it didn't cost us. And then we haven't used up all our luck.
That chance they have normally goes in, doesn't it? It goes under Reggie Cannon's legs and goes in or something like that. I mean, I'm not sure what Asmir Begovic is doing there, but I mean, that was the only hairy moment, you know, from a defensive perspective.
I've tried watching it back and I can't figure out what Begovic does or doesn't do. I just don't like...
No. Well, I thought it was because the striker runs across him.
Yeah.
So he's basically he's static because the striker a yard away is going to get a touch.
He's anticipated a touch and then hasn't come and it's just it was bizarre. But again, good defence positioning. I think we had two on the line, didn't we? Didn't we have Cook and Cannon basically on the line behind him? So... Defensively was good.
I mean, you've mentioned Steve Cook, and I can't stress how important he is to this rest of the season. Like, I won't go through all the stats, but, you know, have a look on our podcast page. But it's just evident that if we don't have him, we don't win. And we just need him there. When we got these three games in a week, I don't know how we manage it and how Marty manages it. We've got Fox there now, haven't we? So I don't know whether we start, you know, Jimmy Dunn scares me a lot. So we've got to keep him fit, haven't we? I don't know, you know, him and Salter, Kenneth Powell, Reggie Cannon. You just look outside the 11. We were talking about it before this podcast and we were talking about how thin we are outside of the... I think if we keep that 11 on the pitch for 90% of the games this season, I think we'll be all right, but it's a big ask considering. And then you look outside the squad, we've not got a lot there, have we? It was you saying it, Harry.
Yeah, yeah. And on Clark Salter, we were mentioning, he's had a lot of criticism over his time at QPR for his injury records, and probably rightly so. He didn't play too much before this season, but it feels like he's played the most out of the centre-backs recently, or at least since like November time. He's been... you know, a staple in the side. And a lot of his praises were about his on-the-ball ability, which have still been decent. They were a little bit shaky at times over the last couple of games. But as a defender, I don't know if before any of us really quite realised just how much of a wall he is. Like, the amount of... his success rate in his challenges are a joke. Like, if he goes to ground, he usually comes out with the ball. There was one, I think it was in the Watford game, sorry to take it back, I'm sure you might have discussed it, where... early doors through on goal, he stopped one there against Millwall. There was one at 1-0 where I think there's like a 4-on-2, he's come in, stopped it, and it's good to see. I feel quite lucky that we've got him and Cook together when they do play, which is quite rare, but like the whole team step quite high when we're attacking, and in transition it feels like we're quite aggressive, and I personally back those two to come out in those duels. So it worked really, really well. And we say that we limited them to so much, probably is because of how aggressive we were in transition. So we'd win it straight back. And yeah, singing their praises again, but just so, like something that you sort of notice watching from the side. And when you've got Jimmy Dunn, for example, trying to be aggressive in the transition, feels bad to slate him because I'm sure he's a great, great lad, but he does get rolled or he's off balance and he gets done and then they're breaking on us, where you don't really see that happen with Clark, Salter and Cook. I don't know if you notice that as much. Or
yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, and Jimmy Dunn is, it's difficult because you're asking him to play out with the ball as well, and he's not great at it, is he? He'll try, but there certainly is a place for Jimmy Dunn for the rest of the season. And that, you know, those games that we're up against it away from home, where we might be able to nick a draw or a win, you know, I can see him being used and coming on when there's balls in the box. There'll be games like that, I'm sure, which suit Jimmy much more than when we're looking for a goal, you know, or you know. So, but you've got Fox there, right? I mean, he's been great for us so far, haven't you? So we've got options there, but I just think, like you said, I get really scared every time I see one of them even remotely look like they're injured. I get the same with Field as well. He does it all the time. He's a cheeky one. You think he's injured,
yeah,
and he never is. I don't know if he does that, if he's genuinely injured or he just does that for a bit of time wasting. But like those three, every time they go down, I'm like, oh, no.
I've now just learned with Field, like he just does it every game.
Yeah.
Like I know he'll get back up. It feels like he's been an ever present for years, like never goes off of injury. But Clark Salter, every 50-50, I'll make sure I'm like watching afterwards, see how he hobbles away, if he's all right or not.
Well, like there's a point, I don't know how, felt like about 10 minutes in where Armstrong went down in the box early on Saturday, and people were worried at that point. I think he might have, you know, got a kick to a certain area that meant he had to go down for a little while. But if I was really worried, if he was going to go off, obviously only 10 minutes in, there would have been Dykes up front. All right, Dixon Bonner in the middle, wouldn't have been too unhappy with that. But we would have lost Smith in the warm-up, Armstrong 10 minutes in. Suddenly we would have had no pace in the team, and that would have been a completely different game. So yeah, just thankful. I think it was just winded, but yeah, there definitely is that nervousness when a lot of players go down, isn't there?
Yeah, and like we said, the squad is wafer thin. And I say that it's them three, but it scares me if Kenneth Powell gets injured, because you've got Larkesh, and I just don't think he's good enough yet. I mean, where was he on Saturday?
He's not even been making the squad.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I like it. I mean, look, we've slated him.
Marty's seen enough.
Nothing against him, but it seems harsh to say, but the least we see of him, Jimmy Dunn and Larkesh, is a good thing, right? I mean, they've probably got parts to play in games towards the end, but we just need that back four as much as possible, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing. Fans are more confident when that back four plays. So if we are, surely the players in front of them are as well. Like, that's why Cole Backfield hopefully won't think, God, I desperately have to make this 50-50 challenge or 40-60 challenge now, because if the player gets past, we're going to be completely exposed and they're going to score. So, long may fitness continue.
Yeah, because we need to keep that team that started out every week, because that is our strongest team.
In February, when the three games start, I think we've got like the start of March, and in the end of there's three Tuesday, three Wednesday fixtures.
Yeah. But if we can get some points before that run, and we can get this team playing for the next few weeks before we hit that run and get ourselves out of danger, then you've got a little bit of a leeway to rotate, rest people if we need to. But if we're still struggling, we're not clear, then you can't not play our strongest team. You need them out every game.
The issue we've got is, another issue is that it's just Huddersfield above us. That's what scares me a little bit more than anything. It's like, we don't have another... The other teams are probably just too far away. I don't know, one might fall away, but I can't see it. Plymouth seem to pick up points at home. Birmingham will get going with Mowbray. Stoke has got too much quality. There's not a lot else, is there, above us? Blackburn have fallen a bit, but 33 points, you'd probably think that was enough.
Well, Millwall were terrible. They could get sucked in if they keep losing games.
But they're signing that. What's annoying is they're signing that Martins from Burnley, aren't they? You know, the one who was at Swansea.
What, Millwall are?
Yeah. Just saw it before we left. Just, yeah, that's annoying, isn't it? Because
yeah.
Ideally, so what about transfers then, lads? Are we thinking, Harry, are we thinking we're bringing someone in? We're not bringing someone in?
Well, I mean, I hope so. I don't think we will, unless more leave. I think we're treading a pretty tight line with FFP. So it'd have to be something like very cheap. And then are we going to improve the 11? I don't know. Maybe just looking for a bit of depth, like we keep saying about the 11. there's not much behind it. So I don't know. I think everything outside of getting a youngster from the Premier League 2, like the under 23 league, unless you're going for one of those, loans are pretty expensive these days if you're looking for someone who's had a little bit of first team experience. So be a risk if we were to get someone. But we do need it, really. Hopefully a midfielder or a striker. I know everyone's crying out for one. And that's the only downside to finding out about Joel Linden at this point, when we've got, I mean, if Kelman's going to go, we've only got two strikers then. So what do you do? Make one of them a midfielder? Oh, great. Right, now we've only got one striker to choose from. We're not really spoilt with choice. So, yeah. Divulged a bit from transfers, but I think don't get your hopes up for anything crazy. But at least we're not spending £2 million on Reece Healy, who was signed for free in the summer. And he only got his first start for Watford at the weekend against us. And then Huddersfield has spent £2 million on him. So, could be worse. Could be worse.
Oh, would you rather
could be worse. You might have just jinxed it and now he's going to score against us.
Yeah, right. Why have you done that?
Edit that out, please. Feeling bad now.
No.
But I mean, he's not a terrible player, but you know what I mean? £2 million when he's for free in the summer.
I guess it isn't the point that they've signed him. What's frustrating is the fact that they've got £2 million to spend. That's the frustration, isn't it? It's not so much who they're buying. It's the fact that we haven't got a penny, two pennies to rub together. And, you know, the team we're chasing has got £2 million.
I know we hear it all the time about what we did that 2.5 years ago has screwed us over and stuff. But I still really struggle to understand how other clubs can do a bit and we just can't do anything. Like, I don't know. It's so frustrating. But hopefully this new CEO is going to have his head screwed on a bit more. And I don't know. I've heard Belk doesn't have quite as much power on transfers as he probably should, given his role. So hopefully new CEO can put a bit more structure in place, and hopefully, I don't know, hopefully Les or whoever it was that was making all the calls and sort of putting our hands behind our backs now, hopefully that's not going to happen in the future, and be a bit smarter. I don't know.
I do think that as well. But I do also think that a lot of these clubs have sold a lot of players that you kind of forget. It's 10 million here, 5 million there, 15 million here, like Bristol City, Stoke. I mean, the amount of money they've generated, we've just sold easy, and that's it, really. Especially in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, where these clubs, it might even be 5, 6, 7 million. Like Middlesbrough, they've got like low transfers that leave for like 5 to 10 million that you probably don't remember, but they kind of happen.
I guess, yeah, Huddersfield, Lewis.
Didn't they sell that Toffolo last summer?
Yeah. They've probably still got, I don't know, they still got a bit of promo. I know they're not getting any payment.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's, but I don't know, they're not long out of the Premier League, are they? I don't know. Hull are the ones. I always get like baffled how Hull can spend, you know, as much money as they do.
I think they'll end up going up. The signings they're making, and they got that centre-half who's pretty good.
Yeah, but didn't they get taken over by that Turkish bloke? Like, not that long ago. But... so is he in, has he had his 3-year cycle with him in charge, with him funding a lot of their money? Because obviously they went down, didn't they, then came back up from League One. So that might have reset a little bit of their FFP. Or
they sold some King Potter, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was their version of Eze after they'd sold Bowen. So it's probably Bowen Matty... 2 years before.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I wonder how much that Matty Longstaff's going for and that Dion Charles at Bolton. They're class then. What, they always score every week. They cost loads. I don't know.
Longstaff, the Longstaff fellow.
I saw that you could get him for a million, but I don't know how true that is. Yeah, but I thought that
we haven't got a million.
No, I know. I know that.
Someone has, though. I don't know why someone's not taking a risk.
Someone's not taking a risk on them two. But Doug, would you take a striker, right? A good Premier League striker, right? Okay, I'll name you one, Mick.
Give you a name, yeah.
This isn't Prem, I've just gone off of them. Naki Wells on loan for the rest of the season, or Steve Cook stays fit every game.
Oh, Steve Cook stays fit every single game.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to get over your love affair with Naki Wells.
No, I don't know.
I feel like we've gone back in time. Like, this happens all the time. Like, you got really excited the other day because someone had changed Luke Freeman's Wikipedia that he'd back at the club.
You blamed me. It wasn't me. Yeah, but there were set rumours that floated around that he's been training with us, right?
I get that.
I don't know how true that is.
But I always feel like going back, players never works, does it? Look at Austin.
Gallagher did all right when he came back.
Yeah.
We are a nostalgia club, aren't we? We love
that's the problem. Like, it's all those kind of, look, we've got Naki Wells back on loan. Like, he's now 35 and he can't run, but it's back on loan, lads. The fans go, yay, for 2 weeks he gets knackered and then can't do anything. Like, it just, that's one of those signings. I'd rather we spend it on a youngster from a Premier League club, get a young lad on loan who's got something to prove.
Yeah, but I think that if you do that, you stop the development of Armstrong a little bit. You could do. If this player comes in and starts scoring a couple of goals, then you kind
of... I'm being selfish this year, mate. We need survival. Like, if Armstrong struggles for a few games because we've got somebody scoring 2 goals a game, like, he's got to struggle for a few games. I'd rather have points on the board.
What's going on with his contract? I get really worried about that as well. I know we've got an option, but... why do we do this as a club? Are we the worst? Is it just me, or are we just the worst at contracts and dealings with them? And I just don't get it.
I don't know if he'll sign one, to be honest.
Well, we won't. He's got everyone after him. Like, we're leaving it too late. We should have nailed him down in like last summer. Just given him what he wanted. I don't know. But is there even any headroom for that? I can't imagine he's on any, not much.
He's got to be really one of the lowest earners in the squad, right?
I'd imagine he'd be wanting something a lot more lucrative than, you know what I mean? Someone his age who's only played that many games and goals.
Yeah, but as ever, you just need the club to say the right stuff, the agent to work with us, as ever, agents don't really do that, but we've got to tell him the message of us. Grow with us, develop with us more. We've shown you the pathway that you can, we'll get you to play games consistently, scoring goals, fans love you. A lot of this just isn't enough when his agent's like, yeah, but I can get you 50% more at Club X, but that's all we've got, right? We've got the emotional angle to play.
Well, we've got the emotional angle and the we can guarantee you'll play every game.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Because he could go to another club and just be sitting on the bench or rotting in the reserves. Because he's not prolific enough to go and, like, be a starting striker many other places. He hasn't
he'll
shown
be looking
enough.
At, would pay for him, would they?
No.
Yeah, but he'll be looking at a Premier League club there. They'll load him back out, but they'll load him somewhere better, right? Maybe, I don't know.
I don't think you get.
Are you going to take a Prem club to make money on a player who scored what, 4 league
Mate,
goals
on a free transfer, right? Or how much is it going to cost in the summer? Not a lot with a year left on his contract. Look at him; he's raw talent. Like, it could backfire, but a lot of these clubs in the Premier League got that sort of bit of money. I reckon they'll just take the gamble. Would you?
What, take the gamble on him?
Well, if you were a chairman of like Crystal Palace, would you, you know, I don't know, I'm just sort of saying, would you come in with a £2-4 million bid for him in the summer, like, and take the risk? I would.
I guess they got that Luke Plange, I might have butchered that, from Derby. He's not seen the pitch for him.
No,
and they just loaned him out. So maybe, yeah, you don't know. But I personally don't think Armstrong is that good. But I love him. I absolutely love him. But I don't mean he's that good. I think maybe
you're in the Bradley's the same. He's I know you're probably all thinking who's that. I don't know either. But he's not Armstrong's biggest fan. He says the same like, not that he doesn't think he's got talent, but he thinks he's like, what does he say? He's huff and puffs a lot.
Like, I just think sometimes he looks a bit unnatural with the football. Like, when if he's going down the wing and he'll go to cross it, like, it just looks very unnatural. But he's very effective for us when we play to his strengths. And we put a lot of balls in behind at the weekend, I felt. Like, tried to turn them. And he wins us yards, even if it's not leading to a goal-scoring chance.
What he does do, he scares defenders, man. You can see it as well from the tennis.
Yeah.
The defenders, they hear him running and they're like, he's got, like, they'll just panic. And I guess that's the point of what he does, right? He's got a bit of Les Ferdinand back in the day about him, where he just out of nowhere stick a foot in and, like, he'll be through on goal, the defender will fall over. It's got a bit of
Les, that, Les would more likely finish the chance. That's the problem, isn't it?
I'm not comparing, but I'm just saying, like, that element of his game.
Yeah, but this is the problem, like, because, like, his first shot against Millwall ended up in what, Rosehead?
Oh, it's hilarious, like, that. He did so well, and then you just knew that was coming.
Literally, he's like, he got excited 30 yards out before I'm hitting this. You just, as soon as it left his foot, you're like, yeah, see you later.
Yeah, but again, every week I'm in this random podcast group, and whoever our opposition is, they always go, who's that? Who's this lad up front for you? And I'm just like, oh, it's Armstrong. Like, he always gets singled out. Always, like.
Very noticeable, isn't he? But,
yeah. You know, so I just think now, when we said it, he should just play every game now. Doesn't matter. Just play him every game as much as you can. Appreciate he's young and he's, but just play him. You know, and then we'll just play in and around him. If Lyndon Dykes has to play on the left sometimes or through the mid, like number 10, or we play two up top, I don't know. Like, I just think we've just got to play him.
Don't want to jinx it as well, touch wood. But he's played a lot more this year than he was able to last year, right? Like, he wasn't in the squad a lot of last season, which is, I don't know, credit to their medical team and credit to him if he's worked hard to stay fit. So
it's how he plays, though. He's explosive, isn't he? So I guess you need to build up that.
Yeah.
If you're hard a bit maintain. Part of the player, yeah, if you're like coming on here and there, like, I imagine that's probably why you get an injury a lot and the more you play, But yeah, what about Smith getting injured in the warm-up? It's a shame, isn't it? He's growing on me, old Paul Smith. Than about anyone else.
I mean, I was gutted when I suddenly walked in and was like, Willock's on the pitch in his kit. What's going on?
Yeah,
because it just, like, I don't think a warm-up injury has happened in all the years I've watched QPR. And it feels like we have won most weeks this season. At least De Fuentes basically said, look, it's very minor. He just says his thigh wasn't 100%. And I appreciate his honesty of saying that. So hopefully he'll be back in training tomorrow, whenever, and it's not a long-term thing, but very unfortunate.
But at the same time, would he have been able to put in the quality across that Chris Willett did for Chair's opener? That's the only downside with Smith, isn't it? If he had the ability,
left foot, that's for sure.
Yeah, if he had the ability of a Willock, or if Willock had the pace of a Smith, that'd be one of the best wingers in the Championship.
I think you just described Bright Isaiah Samuel.
Exactly. Oh, I miss him.
His balls in the box were a lot better on Saturday. Willock, they beat the first man anyway. Mm. But that's something for the rest of the whole squad, not just him.
They must be working on it recently, because Smith's were all right against Watford.
Yeah.
For the goal, there's a deflection, but he put in another wicked ball, which we probably should have scored off. Maybe they're working on it. It'd be nice. Be nice to know if they were, because like we get a corner, and I actually don't get excited anymore, because I know it's not going to beat the first man, and that's quite a sad way to live.
I'm just excited that we've got it and there can be no goal for the next 10 seconds.
What, they're not going to score?
Yeah.
At the right end of the pitch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's... lads, Huddersfield then, blimey. Another Sunday game. Wow, what is this probably the biggest game? I don't know. Long time.
Yeah. Yeah. This is massive. Like,
because I was thinking about big games and I was... God done.
I was going to say, there's no point in beating Millwall if we then go and lose this game. We have to go and win this game. We have to give ourselves the absolute best chance of survival, and that is beating Huddersfield this weekend, being level on points with them, going into the next round of fixtures in February. Then our season can really start.
How do we do that, Chris?
I'd say a combination of what we did against Watford and what we did against Millwall, in terms of restricting the opposition to very little, making sure we're providing Armstrong with quality, or turning their defence. Like, Helic and Matty Pearson do not want to play against Sinclair Armstrong, having him run at them all day. Like, and as ever, the key thing for us, taking the chances that we manage to create. Because if we don't, I know obviously we were really worried about Jake Cooper against Millwall. Michael Helic is their top goal scorer, and he's a centre back. Wonder where his goals are coming from headers, from corners. So, like, limit that. But, I mean, the players know how big this game is. Steve Cook, in his post game interview after Millwall, is asked about Huddersfield, and he's saying, this is one of the biggest, or this is the biggest game in recent history for QPR. So I'm glad almost that's the first thing on his mind, and he knows it. Like, it's interesting, maybe we'll touch upon it very quickly, that both he and the Fuentes mentioned that Andy Sinton came in, had a big chat to the whole squad about what almost... Well, it's interesting. It's one of those things we're never going to know exactly what he said, but he's talking about the club, being a professional footballer, doing the right things, what it means to everybody else. And that was great to hear that they got him involved for something like that. So all on to Sunday.
When people were like, oh, can we see it? And I'm thinking, why the hell would the club do that? After the old, like, there's absolutely no way they would do that. Like, fair play to Andy Sinner, though, like, going in there, like, you know, and it's a different approach, isn't it, I guess, from my...
Bit like that all-or-nothing Arsenal, where they... Well, it's maybe not quite the same, because Sinton's really proper related, but where they get the... Is it the kit man?
Well, it was the photographer, wasn't it?
Photographer, to do the team talk. Similar vibes. Get everyone up for it. Bit of passion. And we'll need a bit of passion on the weekend. Again, I think it's just... I think it could be quite scrappy, to be honest. Like you said, it's the biggest game. Massive six-pointer, and it's not just like the 3 points up for grabs. I think momentum's going to swing, really. Like, if we lose and then we're suddenly 6 points adrift, it's a pretty tough one to then go and bounce back on. But if we win outside the relegation zone on goal difference, I think it is, and we're looking up, So
you then go to Blackburn, which is a winnable away game, right? They're not the greatest. They're not in the greatest of form. Like, I know they demolished us on at home, but I actually think a League One or League Two team would have beaten us that day. But when I've watched them, they've not been great. They've obviously got a couple of half decent players. But what I mean is, it's winnable, isn't it? Like, catch one half decent, half bad day, we can beat that. Norwich at home, winnable. Like, not going to be easy, but winnable, right? So we can follow it up.
I'm just looking at Huddersfield's fixtures as well. After us, they've got Wednesday, but after that, they've got really hard games against Southampton, Sunderland, Hull, Watford, Leeds. So they're looking at us on Wednesday as where they're picking up 6 points. So, but if we can beat them and then they somehow bottle it against Wednesday, they've got a run of games where we could actually get some space above them if we beat them and if everything else goes well for us. That's what we've got to be looking at.
It's amazing to think that the woeful season we've had, and it's been woeful, right? That we, you know, destiny's actually in our hands right now, really. I know it's a lot of football to go, but, you know, it's mad to think that we can, I don't know, we've just been so bad, haven't we? It doesn't feel like we've won many football matches. I think, is it like six or seven?
It did feel like a few weeks ago that we were just gone. Like,
yeah,
there was, exactly. Was maybe like six, seven, 8 points adrift or something like that off the back of losing like three in a row. And I did just think, like, League One, here we come. But then, you know, this weekend, and you're thinking, oh, maybe it'll be all right. And it, like, if we get a win on the weekend and a new signing, like, suddenly there's a bit of a bounce about the club. So football's a funny old game. Funny old game.
Would you make any changes, Chris? Would you bring in Smith of keep Willock? That's the only change.
I didn't think Willock was particularly. He wasn't brilliant Saturday, and they definitely got a point to which I was like, okay, he needs to be replaced just because he couldn't seem to get back well enough. But like kind of Dunkle Harry mentioned, he put two great balls in the box. One led to a goal. The other was difficult but decent header from Dykes above Cooper that went wide. So you know he's got the quality. I would take a guess and say we will have a decent amount of the ball against Huddersfield, which makes me think Willock is the better play because there'll be less space for Smith to run into. So I'd probably keep it the same as Saturday, to be honest.
What are we thinking then, predictions-wise? Are we going to commit? Did anyone say 2-0 to us last week? I think Jack in the group said 2-1.
I don't think we were that positive for a result on the pod, to be honest.
No, we weren't, were we? I'm too scared to be positive. I don't know about anyone else.
I don't want to go positive today, Kate, like, then jinx it.
Yeah, I can't predict a win.
I was just looking at the stats there. We've won more games than Huddersfield this year because they've only won five. We've won six, but they've drawn 12. So you know,
science backed 2-2 there.
Yeah. So I reckon it could be a very obvious game. I think it could be 1-0 either way. I'd love it for us to win it 1-0, 90th minute shithouse goal, but
off Armstrong's backside.
Yeah, off anyone's.
He almost scored off, well, not almost scored. There was one where the keeper's cleared it onto him, and I just thought, like, it's gone off for a goal kick. But if that would have been the most Sinclair Armstrong goal,
yeah.
Do you know what was the most Sinclair Armstrong goal? Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when he headed it and he didn't even know he headed it?
He just hit him.
It literally nearly went in. I wish that had gone in. That would be him all over, mate, wouldn't it?
He's so likable, so likable.
Yeah, because he seems like a good lad as well. Anyway, we spoke about him, haven't we? Anything else, lads? Any observations? Anything you want to talk about?
Covered quite a lot, haven't we? Very, very, very quickly, I looked at the table earlier. So I think we need to get to 50 points. That's 26 more points from 18 games. I think we need 7 wins, 5 draws, and we can afford to lose 6 games. Now, 7-5-6 doesn't sound too, well, in sort of touch wood, in theory, too difficult. But when you've only won 6 games in 28, it sounds a lot more feasible after a win. And after 2 wins back-to-back, it sounds a lot more feasible than that. So, but that's the points mark I'd be looking at. It can be a few points lower. I went back through the league tables last 4 years, and it can be, but there's so many teams that have points deductions, it's difficult to grasp. I think 50 needs to be the aim.
We've got to play Sheffield Wednesday at home, haven't we? Rotherham,
yeah.
Huddersfield.
Our home games they're not against the most difficult teams in the league, let's say. They're ones on paper we're looking at being like, can win that. But it has to start with Sunday, right? If we don't win that, pod next week, and the whole fan base is dejected and we're like, well, we're going down now.
Yeah. We just don't lose. A draw would be not the end of the world. Huge. Not great. But a draw would keep us in 3 points. We've got better goal difference. So, you know, that can swing easily game to game, can't it? 3 points. So, you know, but you're talking 6 points, that becomes a bit more of a challenge, doesn't it? One good thing I want to mention was the attendances are just, they're just so good, aren't they? I still can't believe it every week. Like, no matter what, every the last sort of 4 or 5 games, I've always seen a tweet saying limited seats available, which you rarely see ever, like, apart from the odd game here and there. Fair play to the fans. I know we spoke about it a few weeks ago, but our average 17,000 in January, it doesn't get much more than that, can it? Maybe slightly, but
yeah, we can get just past 18, but that's really but
that's a way you need your way to sell out, and
yeah, well, Millwall sold out, but they're like no Millwall fans can listen to this, so pretty safe. But they were so quiet, like they have this great reputation. It's a London derby. They had 2 tiers. Nothing from them, like all game.
Other than when they start screaming Mill.
Oh, but yeah. I was just mentioning that they were doing that as we scored the first goal. It came at a perfect opportunity. That did. They were going Mill, and then Chair gets the goal. Happy days, just shut them all up.
Oh, honestly,
awful fan base.
He was quiet again, wouldn't he, Chair? I don't know. I need to get him going. If we can, we can win a football match without him. Like, if he can get going, we just need him going. I don't know whether Marty doesn't play like to him. Like, it's sort of like he's not the main man, is he? Do you know what I mean? Like, I always felt like with Ainsworth, if it wasn't coming from him, it wasn't coming from anyone. Like, he was, I don't know.
But we needed that, didn't we? We needed other people to step up.
Well, absolutely.
He wasn't at his all-time best, but got the goal, suckered in 2 players to give the ball back to Colback, yeah, led true. To the second. True. So there we go. Effective. Like, he's always still involved, isn't he? And defences are still very worried when he is running at them. So we don't think he's got a lot of pace. He's quicker than we think, but he's not, because he's not going to take the ball past someone and like burn them for pace. But defenders will always retreat. They're scared he's just going to chop a shoulder and maybe get past him or play the right pass. So it does have that element of sort of fear factor in defences.
The way though, I think if he was at a serious club, he would get dropped, because I think he plays like it's the Chair show and like holds on to it for too long. It's all about him. I think if we actually had a bit more behind him, I think the manager would take him off and say, like, what are you doing? Like, a lot of the time, I don't know whether that's a bit of a hot take, but I think he does slightly take the mic with the way he plays. Just
hot take. We're not a serious club.
Okay, a serious team. We're a serious club, serious team. If he was at Leeds, you wouldn't get away with it, I don't think.
Nah. I know what you mean. He holds onto the ball sometimes way too long. Like, obviously too long, where, like, it's 3-on-4 or something, or five, and then all of a sudden the whole squad's back in position. And you're like, oh, there's no point in crossing it now. You know what I mean? I like Kenneth Powell, you know, quickly. I don't know, just really like him.
Love him.
It's class, isn't he? Like, I don't know why. I think sometimes he has 10, 15, 20 minutes when just out of nowhere he's really shit. But generally, he's really good with the ball at his feet. I just really like him. He's really good in the air.
He was sloppy the first 20 minutes against Millwall, to be fair.
I think everyone was, weren't they?
He put the ball out of play down that left hand side a lot of times, where he was trying to just clip it down the line to like Sinclair, and it just kept going straight out.
Yeah,
like you said, like a lot of players were sloppy that first 20 minutes.
Yeah, but at least you can see what he's doing, though. Like, that will happen, won't it? I guess, but I'd rather that than him lose it to someone trying to pass it. I know. But anyway, I just like him, and I think Reggie Cannon's got a bit of growing to do. Yeah, I actually thought he'd have a great game. He's still solid-ish, but I didn't.
God,
I don't
first
know.
Half on the ball, he was so awful. Like the first worst half he's had on the ball. God,
he got in team of the week as well.
Yeah, that
I don't know how I saw that. I don't know how.
No other right backs must have played.
Yeah. Well, he made a clearance off the line. That gets you a lot of points on whoscored.com.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think he's fully fit, is he? He's solid enough, isn't he? But,
he's lucky he's being compared to you-know-who. otherwise, I think he might... I don't know. But he's like all-round solid. But there was one against Watford where he's driving with the ball. And you've seen the guy come up behind him, and he's had ages, and he's just taking it off of him as he's running forward so easily. It's just frustrating, but
yeah.
I don't know. He's okay. He's okay. One other thing I wanted to mention was I keep seeing some tweets about whatever happens. Like, God forbid, if we do go down, we need to keep hold of Marty. Like, he's the man. Obviously, I think we are quite lucky to have stumbled across him. But do you think there's any chance he stays if we go down?
Well, we wouldn't get rid of him, would we?
No,
we wouldn't get rid of him.
If it's up to him, then yeah.
It would depend on what was available next summer, finances-wise, because the club needs the squad needs a whole, wherever league we're in, needs a whole reset. And that comes with a cost. So I'd imagine it would go on that. Would he stay if someone would say to him, we've got no money and you're going to have to get frees?
I think we will get a bit more money because so many players are out of contract. I think we will be able to do a little bit. But I just mean in terms of the league, I think he's showing that with a group of players that aren't great, that he can do stuff at this level. And I'm sure he's probably got aspirations to go higher, given he's hopped around different clubs. I don't know. I think personally, I can't see him saying if we go down. But that's a negative note, and we want to... Donna, end it in negative.
You left it right to the end, Harry, there, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus. has anyone got anything positive to end on? Nah, we're joking now. We've been pretty positive, haven't we?
Marty's keeping us up.
There we go.
Marty's at the wheel. There you go. No?
No.
Fair enough. All right, lads, cool. Let's leave it there. Let you crack on with your evenings. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. And let's get that win on Sunday. You ours.
You ours.
You ours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.